S-R-A.
I like your style, dude.
Well, I dig your style too, man. That whole cowboy thing going.
Thank you. There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
The fuck you talking about?
Okay, dude. Have it your way.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the most you ever lost in a coin toss?
Sir?
The most you ever lost in a coin toss.
Yeah, what's up?
He wants to kill me so bad he can taste it.
Oh, God, I was going to kill
him. Attica! Attica!
Attica!
Attica! Attica! Attica!
There's only one man who would dare give me the raspberry. Lone Star!
The first rule of Fight Club is, you do not talk about Fight Club.
I drink your milkshake. I drink it up.
You are now listening to Cinema Press 37.
Robot voice is back.
Dude, what, it sounded like Satan from space.
Yeah, it was like Transformers Satan is what that was. Welcome to episode 62? Yes, of Simba Crespo Diso, 62, yes.
62-ish.
I am your host, Christopher Crespo, hanging out in the SS Crespo Diso 2.0. It's pretty sweet in here. You know, the weather's nice, so the waves eat and rocking. How's it going, Drew Sikogren?
It's going, man. Another week on the boat.
Another week on the boat.
Better
another,
boat.
Another show. Better boat, better show. Right?
I don't know about the better show part. Definitely a better boat.
All right, there you go. That's part.
It's a nice boat.
Oh, thank you so much. That's the voice of our guest, Aaron Weiss from CinemaFunk.com. Aaron, how's it going, dude?
Doing well. Thank you very much for having me back.
Thanks for coming back, man. Two-time guest. So last time we had you. Actually, if you count the bonus episode, three-time guest.
Oh, yes. That's true, too. Yeah.
Yeah, because we had you. I think it was episode 14.
Wow.
And then the same
week.
You
guys were only a teenager back then.
Yeah, we were. It was really good.
Youngins.
Now the show's an old man, an old creaky old man already in the low 60s because the show does a lot of drinking and smoking.
Yep. Oh yeah.
So it's just not healthy.
It's not doing well.
Not a healthy show.
But you're wiser now.
Yeah, a little.
You got to think
much
about
wiser.
It.
Slightly wiser. Got more things like this. Welcome to the show.
Got Jim Cramer over here, everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah, we got a studio audience.
I also got one of these. That's the extent of that's the extent of the production values of this show, unfortunately. But
we'll be hearing that a lot, won't we?
Every now and then. You'll get one every now and then. So thanks for coming on, Aaron. We appreciate it. Also, know you could make this work. You're actually the first guest in our new studio setup here.
Oh wow! So you guys moved in recently?
Within the last 2 or 3 weeks,
yeah.
I believe.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a fresh move. That's why everything's still nice and clean.
Oh, okay.
There's not a layer of dust on everything yet.
Not yet.
And then pretty soon, I'm saying like 40 days-ish, Drew's saying like 60-ish or so, we're going to be broadcasting live on Monday nights from a studio downtown.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, so that's going to be a lot of fun. So when you'll be coming back the next time for that, hopefully you'll be during one of the live shows when we're taking like phone calls and stuff. And it'll be awesome. Looking forward to it.
Excellent.
But hey, before we get there, we got this show.
Oh, yeah.
So let's get this party started. Netflix instant pick of the week. Drew, you got the you got the Crespo Diso randomizer at 9,000. Let's heat that up right there.
All right, what do I got here?
You gotta give it to
Drew. I'm sorry.
For verification purposes. You know how Netflix is. They bring stuff up and take it down all willy-nilly whenever they want to.
I got the chicken to work. I can't get the other one to work, though.
Well, at least, all right.
This is
fine.
Not working.
The chicken is fine.
Right,
I like the chicken.
All right, there we go. That's a Netflix chicken. The Netflix chicken picking around the bag, making sure it's fresh.
They never had a motto or a mascot.
Wah, wah, wah.
Ooh, Netflix?
Yeah.
They could use the Netflix chicken. Oh, we got to know. That deserves one of those. Apparently, Netflix used to have High Noon on there, and they took it off. Oh, a classic High Noon.
Okay.
Cary Grant. It's he's a sheriff who some bad guys are coming to get him. And they're telling him they're coming at noon, High Noon. They're coming to get you. So he tells everyone in town, "I need your help." And everyone's like, "Yeah, screw you, man." And they leave him on his own. And he's like, "Damn it, I gotta fight these guys on my own." It's pretty awesome. Ticking clock type movie.
Yeah,
but it's not on there, people. Sorry. Sucks.
All right, we're good to go.
All right, pick number two. Good to go. Here we go. Aaron, tell them what it is. Boom, boom,
boom, boom. Dirty, Pretty Things.
Yes. Yes, this is the one that was put on there recently. I love this movie. It's a Stephen Frears movie from 2002. Oh, it's even that old. I saw this one in theaters with Ron B. Long Beach
Englewood.
This is the first time I ever saw or noticed, I should say, Mr. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Ah, Chewie.
Who was just kind of upset for Best Actor.
Yeah, he was also in Children of Men as well.
That's true, too.
He was also in Children of Men. He's in a whole ton of movies, this guy.
I have not seen this film, but I've seen a couple clips in some classes I've taken in the past.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah, exactly. It's a type of movie where like it's good for teaching people how to do things with movies. Yeah.
And has Audrey Tautou.
Yeah, yeah. This was fresh off of Amelie.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason why I even got any sort of theatrical release here in America, because I had her in it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a great movie. Ejiofor plays an African immigrant in England. He was a doctor back home. It's one of these deals where now they gets to England, you know, all his licensing's over there, and he's illegal. So he's a hotel clerk during the graveyard shift, and then during the day he drives a taxi. And he like medical work on the side to make ends meet. Audrey Tautou is another immigrant who's struggling to make a living over there, and she's working in like a sweatshop, like laundry type place, and this really fat, gross overseer foreman guy like sexually molests her and shit, and it's crazy and it's intense. And there's like a whole subplot thing about the organs, black market for organs and stuff, and it's an intense movie. It's really really good. There's this awesome character. I think he's a Chinese dude, and Ejiofor's character. They hang out together and they play chess. And there's a line. He says a line about how if you're good at chess, you're bad at life. But if you're bad at life, you're good at chess. Right. That's like in the middle of the conversation, and then they keep talking more and more about what's going on. And then at the end of it, the Chinese guy gives him some advice. And then as he walks away, he's like, "Yeah, but what do I know? I'm bad at chess." And then he just walks off. And the EG4, he's the one that's good at chess. And he's like, you know,
maybe I'm bad at life.
Maybe I'm screwing things up here. You know, it's a really, really good movie. I like it a lot. It's awesome. I'm so glad that one came up this week. Sorry, High Noon. You were the victim of a fate.
Well, I just added Dirty Pretty Things to my queue.
Yes.
Or they call it the list now.
They did my list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're dumbing it down for America.
Q's too. It's too.
No one knows how to pronounce
too
it.
Too British, man. Too foreign. Yeah, no one knows. My Q-U. My
Q-U.
What'd you call me?
I think I saw a meme about this. About the Q-U-E. Yeah, no, it's... yeah, they made it more American. They also... Netflix. They now add their own recommendations to your list.
That's true.
And it's kind of annoying.
It is a little annoying.
It's like, you know what? I've gone through your library, guys. I know what you got.
Yeah.
If I wanted to see this, I would add it to my list. Mm. This is my list.
I still think they need to work on their browsing.
Oh, my God, dude.
It just gets worse and worse.
It is the worst. Like, they have so many movies, and you can't tell what they have. You have to, like, just think of a movie and search for it. There's no... Oh, my God. It does make you yearn for the days of going to a Blockbuster and everything's there, alphabetical
right
order.
There.
Let me go to horror, A through Z. It's not here? Okay, it's not here.
Yep.
You know, there's no... it's like... It does make me yearn for those days a little bit. Yeah, I agree. Man.
Yearn for the days of Blockbuster.
Yearn for the days of a physical place where you can walk in and look at the movies.
And someone you can turn to and be like, "What's good?
Hey, what's good? What have you seen lately?"
But they turn to us, though. That's what people do. They turn to us.
That's what they do now.
Yeah.
That's what they have to do now because those stores are gone.
Yeah.
So we're left. We're the arbiters.
Yeah.
That's why I try to be the critic of the people. Mm-hmm. I know you do, too. People, definitely check out Cinema Funk because... I trust Aaron. You can trust Aaron. He's got great opinions.
Yeah,
and he and he backs him up with stuff, and he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's not just a bunch of blowhard bullshit, you know. It's even if you disagree overall, you know, because no one agrees on everything, right? Even if you disagree at the end, you still know why you've come to the reasons why you've done so. You know, appreciate shit like that. I think people really appreciate stuff like that.
Thank you.
And that's what we got to do. We got to make it for the people. We got to help the people. Let the people know what's out there, what's good. Because the mom and pop video stores are gone.
There's a lot of gems out there that don't have $1 million marketing plans.
No.
Yep.
Correct.
No. Exactly. And they need everyone's help. Mm-hmm. Right. All right. So let's get into the box office recap for the weekend. Drew, you got the numbers there in front of you.
Yes, sir.
What is the box office mojo?
I guess we'll start at number 10.
Might as well mention it.
Veronica Mars had a weekend gross at $2.02 million, same as total, budget of $6 million. So it'll probably make its money back.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cheap movie. And it was only in 290 theaters so far.
That was crowdfunded, wasn't it?
Yeah. You know.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
That's the thing. At first, it sounded like they made it seem like they asked for $4 million, and through Kickstarter, all the fans kicked in $4 million, right, or whatever. Now it's $6 million. Came out very recently. Mm-hmm. I think it was Warner Brothers. Yes. They finished the Kickstarter. They saw that there was money going into it, and keep the interest going, they went ahead and, boom, paid for it all. And, kind of a early audience bomb type of thing, where, you know, buying a bunch of tickets ahead of time sort of deal. Yeah, it's a little disingenuous then how they kind of use the Kickstarter and the crowdsource thing as almost a marketing tool at that point. Eh, but also maybe it's kind of smart too.
Yeah.
Right? So Veronica Mars, $2 million. I didn't even watch the show. I didn't watch the show.
I didn't have a chance. Nope.
Never. All right. Number 5 this week, Tyler Perry's The Single Moms Club. Weekend gross $8.3 million. Same as total. Budget is unlisted. It's Tyler Perry, so it's going to be cheap.
I didn't realize. Did we even mention that last week that there was one coming out?
No, didn't even know it was on the list.
It wasn't on the IMDb. No. Man, they're just sneaking Tyler Perry movies in
they
now.
They just snuck it under the rug. Like, here you go, here's a Tyler Perry movie, by the way.
If they sneak it under the rug, it means it's probably not very good.
It's a Tyler Perry movie, so it speaks for itself.
So how bad is it that they had to sneak this one through compared to, you know,
some of the other ones?
Somebody
that
making
are,
a Christmas.
Have campaigns everywhere.
Right. Speaking of which, we had an Oscar bet going, based on the balloting and stuff. That, and Drew, unfortunately,
lost.
And it was a listener picked, what do you say? You got to do a task, an outcome
of sorts.
Drew has to watch Tyler Perry's Medea Christmas. Tyler Perry's Made a Christmas.
Yes, Tyler Perry's Made a Christmas.
which is still playing at the Second Run Theater right over here around the corner.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, still, all these months later.
Halfway through March.
On Tuesday, it's only $1, buddy. So
I know what I'm doing Tuesday.
It might hurt your soul, but it won't hurt your wallet.
If I had a soul left, it would probably hurt it. You're right.
And it'll make for good show content next week when he gets to come in and rail against Tyler Perry. Or maybe he'll love it.
That's what I was about to say. What if he comes out saying this is a masterpiece?
This guy is not about to fall in love with any Christmas movie, let alone a Tyler Perry one.
Correct. Well, I mean,
you never know.
My favorite Christmas movies are Die Hard and Gremlins.
Right.
So
those are good Christmas movies.
They are. They're awesome Christmas movies.
I'm a Scrooged man myself.
Scrooge is awesome. Maybe Tyler Perry put in references to Die Hard and Gremlins and Made a Christmas.
What is there like a is there a tiny Mogwai all bloody with bloody feet running and jumping off a top of a building as it explodes with
a fire hose
wrapped around his waist?
Yes. And then Medea's like, oh, child, right behind the whole time, watching the whole thing happen.
Sounds awesome.
That does sound actually kind of awesome.
It does, doesn't it?
So the Tyler Perry movie came out, and we were not aware of it. What's number 4?
My number 4 movie this week, Nonstop, had a weekend gross of $10.6 million, total gross of $68.8 on a budget of $50.
One for that Liam Neeson movie.
I want to see Liam Neeson in the plane.
We went to go see Nonstop. When was this? A couple weeks ago?
Three weeks ago.
And there was a guy ahead of us in line for the box office, an older gentleman, and he walks up to the window and he just leans in and he goes, one for the Liam Neeson movie. He doesn't even know the title. It's like, it doesn't matter.
He just wants to see Liam Neeson.
Let me see the Liam Neesons.
Yeah, he's been doing some really gritty stuff.
Yeah, he's doing all the action stuff.
Well, dude, he's a badass old man.
He likes to be a badass old man. You know, you got the Takens. They're working on Taken 3, where he gets taken again. I mean, they already took his whole family in the last one.
Yeah, well, maybe now they're going to take him, and now his family has to get him back.
horrible. That sounds like the worst.
Or maybe he has to find. Maybe he gets taken and he has to fight his way out by himself. Like he already found himself. He has to fight his way out.
He has to untake himself.
Yes.
I already know the title for that one. Taking Your Money.
Oh, hi-yo! Again, taking your money again. Yeah. Because you would be
people taking your money for the third time.
Just getting taekwondos. But Nonstop, you know, it's okay. But have you seen the trailers and commercials?
Seen the trailers. Then you've seen the movie.
Then you've seen
something about it seems intriguing, but not something I would.
I mean, there's a fun little couple plot twists that are okay.
The intrigue would have been if you were like this old guy who probably just heard that there was a Liam Neeson movie or like saw a commercial somewhere but really wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. So he probably showed up to the movie, didn't know what was going to happen. I was like, okay, this movie is pretty cool because it went some places I didn't know. But all that shit, all the twists, they're all in the trailer.
And I saw the trailer like 50 billion times.
That does not help at all. So it was just, man, it's disappointing. They definitely were going for like an old Hitchcock type of thing, you know, mistaken identities and whodunit type of feel. And some of it works, but at the
He's
end.
In a lot of films like that. There was one film a couple years ago with, was it January Jones?
January Jones, right.
Identity issues. So he's kind of really into the.
What was that one? Oh, man. The Liam Neeson's.
Unknown.
Yes.
Unknown.
Yes.
Yeah, which was not very good. Was that the same director? I think that was Jean Collet Serra. I believe that was the same person who did Orphan. Did they go Orphan, Unknown, and then Nonstop? Is that the same? That could be.
Yeah, that's a double Neeson's.
He loves his Neeson's.
Yeah, same director. Same Orphan, director. Unknown.
Jean Collet Serra.
Jean Collet Serra, yeah.
Something like that. Serra, whatever it will be.
Yeah.
What is that? He's a Spanish or French Canadian or something like that.
French.
French.
He's a frog.
Luc Besson probably has connections.
More than likely.
You never know. Europa Corps. What the hell are we talking about? So Nonstop. It's you can go to chriscrespo.com to read my review of that.
Chriscrespo.com.
Are you gonna check it out anytime soon on the Redbox? Or are you gonna keep an eye out for the latest Liam Neeson's?
If I have a bout of insomnia,
all right,
there you go.
That is when I catch up on the films I miss.
Right on.
Yeah,
might as well. Right, yeah. That's a perfect time actually. All right, what's next year?
Number three movie this week, Need for Speed, had a weekend gross of $17.8 million, same as a total budget of $66.
That's not a bad opening weekend, I think.
I think some of their video games have pulled in more money.
Yes, I'm pretty sure the Need for Speed video game is one of the highest rated racing franchises of all time. The new Need for Speed video game is probably going to bring in four times this easily. This movie was god-awful. By the way,
it kind of looks
it totally is.
Adapting video games is never
surprises me because depending on the video game, there could be a pretty solid story going on.
Yeah,
there could
especially
be one.
These days. But this is not the case.
This looks to be right in the middle to low end of opening weekends for. Video game based movies. On your high end, you have Lara Croft, Tomb Raider, opened at $47 million. Prince of Persia, $30 million. Pokemon, the first movie, $30 million. Goddamn Pokemon.
Well, dude, no. Yeah. Well, you see, that was animated, and
I don't count that as
it was attached to the cartoon.
Yeah.
But it all started as a video game in Japan, so technically it's a video game movie.
When you go back to the 90s, Mortal Kombat made 23.
Street Fighter.
The Resident Evil movies all opened to 23, 26.
You also have to factor in inflation.
Inflation with the first Mortal Kombat. The more recently, then you got Max Payne, $17 million, Hitman, $13 million, Doom, $15 million. So Need for Speed,
Doom
$17 million.
So
actually, maybe it's not too hot.
I'm still waiting for Leisure Suit Larry.
What a great movie that would be. Man, who's directing it, guys? Who's going to direct
Leisure Suit Larry
movie? Whose hands are you putting it in?
Martin Scorsese.
Oh, wow. You're going for realsies.
I think he would do it justice.
I was thinking more slapstick.
Like who? The Farrelly brothers?
No. Like the guys who did Lego Movie.
Oh, Lord and Miller.
Dude, yeah.
Of Lord and Miller.
Make those guys do a Leisure Suit Larry movie, that'd be great.
They do a good job.
They would actually nail that one.
Yeah.
I was thinking like 80s Verhoeven, you know.
Come
like right before he did Basic Instinct, put all that crazy sexual frustration into a Leisure Suit Larry movie. That'd be weird. So Need for Speed, $17 million opening weekend. That's not too. It's going to make about 50 to 60 total here. So for them, it's going to be all about international. It already made $45 million international. So who knows how many theaters it's open up to. You know, it's the same director that did Act of Valor.
Yeah.
That Navy recruitment, Navy SEAL recruitment movie.
Is that why the entire movie looked like it had military hardware And I was just thinking, like, the entire movie, they all had those the weird touch screens and the GPSs and the blah, 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 to make it look like the video game map.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I was thinking to myself.
It's all very military looking.
Well, they were like, you know, oh, we made $5,000. I was like, that's a lot of technology to be making $5,000.
True. Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's yeah. probably like $250,000 worth of technology you got there to make $5,000.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. That's probably the same reason. There is one part where the chick, Imogen Poots.
What a silly name.
She's like, hiding from someone, and she's like walking down a thing, and she stops. She's in a gas station, and she stops right by a DVD rack, and right there next to her head is an Act of Valor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I was like, you know,
snuck it in.
He was like, you know what, guy? Good for you. Good for you, guy. I would have done something like that too. But so okay, Need for Speed.
Some of the car races were like the first car race with the muscle cars with all the Mustangs.
When their starting signal was the train's horn.
Yeah. That scene was actually quite good.
When the movie started and that scene happened, and like the cars are all lined up on the street and they're just sitting there. I'm waiting for someone to be there with a gun or, you know, someone, some flags. Like, they're just sitting there. Like, what are they waiting for? And then a train's coming by and they're all looking at the train and it's like kind of like, you know, what's going on? And then just as the train passes them and it gets towards an intersection, it blasts their horn and then all the cars, and that's the horn that they use as their green light. I was like, that's a great idea. That's really cool. And then the race starts with them having to outrun the train at the intersection. So it's a race just to get past the train and then they can keep doing the race. I was like, this is actually really exciting. This is really cool.
Like Mario Kart 64.
Yeah, it was very Mario Kart-ish. And I was like, this is sweet. I'm enjoying this. So that was the first race.
Yeah.
And then what happened after that?
And then the rest of the movie turned to shit.
Just like, what?
Then they threw in weird love interests and this silly side story.
It was an awkward love interest.
Blah, blah, blah.
Because the love interest was actually like the bad guy's girlfriend the whole time. And then there's like this new love interest where, you know, they're going to hook up. Yeah. Like at first, they're like, I don't like you. And then at the end, like, they're going to be doing some of that.
It's always the way it works.
Little of this, some of that thing.
The old in and out.
A little bit of the in and out. With Imogen Poots. This movie's too broody, you know?
Yeah.
There's one scene in the movie where it's like, you know, the main character goes to prison. So his little crew, his team, they all split up. They break up. So he's getting the team back together, right? So one guy is working in an office. And it's not very hard to get the team back together. It's really just trying to get one guy.
Yeah.
And really, he doesn't do that much anyway, no. So I don't get it. But so they have to go get this one guy. He's working in an office, working at a cubicle, and he's tapping away at a keyboard like a monkey. Like, he doesn't even know what he's doing, you know. And they get him to quit by showing him something. And he's like, all right, I'm going to quit and go be a mechanic again. So he decides to start stripping off his clothes. And as he's walking down the hallway, he's like, he's just first his tie, then his shirt, and he's throwing it on the floor. And then he kisses a girl on his way. I was like, I always wanted to do that. And it's a very fun, silly scene, you know, kind of ridiculous. And it was like 2 minutes of the movie, maybe. And then the rest of the movie around that is the most brooding, overly serious, like grim thing about wanting revenge for this guy is dead. He should have gone back for him. It's like how the movie needed more of that light touch, the fun of they had that fun in one scene. They could have made the whole movie like, you know, just more enjoyable to watch. But instead, it's like how many times can you look at Aaron Paul looking over his steering wheel like, like grimacing,
revenge. Know,
not to say Aaron Paul is bad. I enjoyed him in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think
he's probably the best part of the movie.
He's probably the best part. I think he's got a career in movies. He can be a leading man.
Well, this is one of his first times being a leading man
in a movie this big. He kind of was a co-lead sort of in Smash Mary Elizabeth Winstead, but that was more her movie than his in a way.
She was the lead character.
She's the one who has the bigger change. She's like, absolutely, I just want to get sober. He's like, I want to be drunk and party. What else? He did another movie where he wasn't not really lead. So this is his first chance really like being out there front and center, even though it's a bit of an ensemble with people, the people they put around him. But those people don't do anything. No. So they actually just make
it look
better.
We will never see most of those people ever again.
I don't think so. They will all disappear.
I do think Aaron Paul's going to do some really great stuff in the future.
Yeah, he's got the chops. He's young enough.
It doesn't sound like Need for Speed's it, though.
No. When I'm looking at him, I'm definitely thinking he's got what it takes to be a Dustin Hoffman or a Tom Cruise or even a Humphrey Bogart type of leading role, you know, which by that I mean he's short. All those guys are short.
Nothing wrong with short people.
Nothing wrong with short people, especially in movies, because for some reason, if you got the charisma, when they put you on a 20-foot screen, everyone's a giant.
Yep.
Sylvester Stallone's 5'9", but he took out the entire USSR with one punch to Dolph Lundgren's nuts.
That's correct.
The power of cinema right there. So yeah, Aaron Paul, he's cool. Some of the stunt work in the movie was cool, but I felt like there wasn't enough of it. Not enough car crashes. You know, that's what they were touting. They're like, oh, there's no CG. A lot of over-the-top stunts like Fast and Furious, but for real, you know? But even then, Fast and Furious 5, the one in Brazil, the finale scene, they destroyed, for real, over 200 cars. Yeah. Just the finale. Blues Brothers in 1980, 81, in their finale, they destroy like 150, 200 cars, cop cars, right?
Well, in the 70s, there was a big trend of having these massive car chases.
Like Smokey and the Bandit and stuff like that. Yeah, and Blues Brothers took that to a whole new level with just, you know, going really over the top with their shit.
They took it even more over the top compared to what was out there.
Yeah, exactly.
They did a good job.
Exactly. So I felt like with this in comparison, it should have been like they should have just gone for and destroyed as much as possible, been as crazy as possible. And there was like maybe 5 car crashes, the whole, maybe 6,
movie. And most of them were single car crashes, too.
Most of them were single car crashes. Like, the car just gets flipped, which looks cool. And then it's like they go slow motion sometimes. And you know what? Some of the action is like some of it's pulled back where it's not like shaky cam and hype. Not too, it's edited a little quickly, but not too much. I could see what was going on. And I appreciate that in my modern action filmmaking. So at least this guy, he's not the best director, but in certain places he has what it takes. I think, what's his name? Scott Wall, I think his name is. Scott Wall. He might have a better career as like a second unit action director, you know? Like the guys that help out with the Bourne Supremacy movies, not the guys that actually direct the talking scenes. Let the other people direct the talking scenes. And he can, you know,
do the action.
Looking on IMDb, he mostly has a stunt.
He's come from the stunt world.
So that's probably why they had him for Need for Speed.
Yeah, well, he got that. He got Need for Speed because he worked out a deal with the Navy people to do Act of Valor. He wanted to make a military movie. He was already making like training videos or instruction videos or something like that for the Navy with their people. Mm-hmm. And they liked what they were seeing. And they're like, hey, why don't we make a movie together? And they got the $2 million together to make Act of Valor. It made, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 million. It made a good amount of money for being so low budget. So that's how he got his foot into the door as being the director of big movies. But, you know, with this making 17 opening weekend on, what was it, 60?
66.
You know, this one will be okay. If with international, it'll make its money back, and he'll be able to keep working. So we'll see with the Scott Wow. Maybe he'll keep growing as a filmmaker, and maybe he'll get better. Because we need more solid action filmmakers these days. Not enough of them. We got the guy who's doing the Raid 2 now. We got who else is there? Yeah. So action filmmaking is really hurting these days, man. It's all direct-to-video, actually. John Hyams, Peter Hyams' son, the guy who did the last couple Universal Soldier movies. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the last couple Universal Soldier movies?
They're weird, man.
You haven't seen any of them? Not even the first one?
Not a big action guy.
It's a little sci-fi.
You should know me. I like watching paint dry.
Well, hey, then you should like watching Van Damme act in the late 80s, early 90s. You should really enjoy that then. You should watch the first Universal Soldier, just, you know, for a basic understanding of the Universal Soldier thing.
And then, what,
the last one? And then the last two.
Which one was the one?
I guess you're going to skip to the last one, because the last one's more of a horror movie than an action movie.
With the crazy Van Damme?
With the crazy crazy half-color Van Damme, and Dolph Lundgren is like with the pink shirt. And
how many are there?
A lot.
Like 5 of them?
5, yeah.
That's ridiculous. They did the first one, then they did a second one with just Van Damme. Then I think they did a third one with Bill Goldberg?
From WCW, something like that.
And then they went direct to video after that. But now with the last couple ones, was directed by this guy John Hyams, is actually really, really good.
Okay.
And it's surprising how good. It's a type of thing where it's just like really solid filmmaking, really like old school action style filmmaking, but with some modern twist to it. And it's good.
It's not bad.
It's better than Need for Speed.
I'll put it on my late night insomnia list.
Late night insomnia list. That one, and you know what? The last one, definitely on a Netflix instant for sure. It was a past pick of the week. So there you go. All right, let's move on. Need for Speed. So, Drew, what do you recommend people see in a theater? Airplane, Redbox, Dollar Theater. We should add that to the list. HBO, TBS.
I recommend that you not see it.
Psh, don't even see it.
Wow.
Holy cow. He says, don't even see it. That's how bad that one. That's a bad toilet. Do I have a toilet sound here? What do I got? No.
I recommend that you feed it to your T-Rex here at Jurassic Park. Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Yeah, I would say, you know, it's for me, Redbox, yeah, you can Redbox it. Some people will still like it for if they just spend a dollar, they'll enjoy some of it. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's,
I say save your.
It's not awful.
I don't mind if you spend a dollar on it, but I do mind if you spend 2 hours on it, because that's how long this freaking stupid movie is.
That is the problem with the movie. It is too damn long. It should have been an hour and a half. It's like over 2 hours long.
Yeah, it should have been. Should have been 90 minutes.
Yeah, that is some bullshit. Also, some bullshit, it wastes Michael Keaton and Dominic Cooper.
Michael Keaton was actually really good in that movie too. And I was thinking to myself, he probably made a bunch of money for sitting in a room for like a day and a half, maybe 2 days tops.
Yeah, I was thinking one day. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he even had to go to a studio. They probably went to his house.
Yeah. Maybe. That was probably his back room.
We'll come to you. Don't worry about it. We'll just use your living room and we'll be out of there by the end of the day, Mr. Keaton. we promise. Here's your check for $1 million.
I'll just watch the scene with Michael Keaton on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, it's just him ran into a mic, and the dialogue isn't good. He's wasted. It's a shame. Yeah. And Dominic Cooper is the main bad guy. He's a really great underrated actor. The Devil's Double. He's awesome in that as the Saddam Hussein's kids, the brothers, the crazy one.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! And that he goes and gets a double. Or whatever. Oh my god! And what's the other one? Now he was in the first Captain America. As Tony Stark's dad.
Yes.
Right? That was like his biggest role, I guess.
He was awesome as Tony Stark's dad.
He's awesome in everything. He's Dominic Cooper. But in this one, he does nothing. He stands around with a leather jacket and he's like, ooh, I'm a dick.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. So,
they call that acting.
Yeah, well, they call that bad directing. Like, not giving the guy direction. Like, let's do something.
Just
he's like,
stand there and be a dick.
Yeah. Read his lines. He's like,
be more of a dick.
Screw you, Aaron Paul. Action. Cut. We're good. Wait, were we rolling? This is only my second movie,
guys.
We'll fix it in post. So yeah, I would say Redbox. As Drew says, don't even fucking bother. And you know, compared to other video game movies, you know, it's actually kind of high up on the list. All right,
of bad video game movies.
Right. Well, hey, of all these pieces of turd, this is the nicest shaped one. it's got some nice browning to it. You know, it's solid.
It's got some glisten.
It's not falling apart when I reach for it. Not like these Super Mario Brothers turds over here that
crumble in your hands.
Oh, the worst. And then you can't wash them off. It's just on your hands for days and days, and you feel like the smell. The Super Mario Brothers smell is on your fingers. You can't get away from it. Took that metaphor way too far. All right, let's finish out this top 10. Let's go over to top 5.
All right, number 2, 300 Rise of an Empire. We can gross 19.1. Total is 78.3. Budget of 110.
This is Sparta. Yep.
I mean, it is what it is. It's 300. It's a sequel, so it's not as good as the first one. We'll move on to the number one movie of the week.
Yeah, might as well. It's, you know, if you want to read my 300 review, go to chriscrespo.com.
chriscrespo.com.
There you go.
If
you want more choke sex, go to C300 Rise of an Empire.
Yes. There is some pretty hot choke sex.
If you like 300, but you felt like it needed more choke sex and beheadings.
Yes.
Then there you go. Otherwise,
And number one movie of the week, Mr. Peabody and Sherman.
Oh, look at that.
We could gross 21.2, total 63.18, budget of 145.
So it didn't debut at number one.
Nope.
But in the second week, that doesn't happen very often in movies.
But you know, that's one of the ones I would like to see. I haven't seen any trailers very much about it, but I
saw a couple
like
trailers.
I've seen a few trailers. You know, honestly, I mean, I like the Peabody and Sherman and the Rocky and Bullwinkle old cartoons.
That's
and
something
stuff.
I would take my niece to.
Right.
You need to take your niece to go see the Lego movie.
Yeah.
Well,
right now.
No, by now, everyone's already seen the Lego movie. So
I still
go see it again.
I told you I haven't seen it.
Dude, it's so good. It is freaking amazing. Yeah.
And it's the same guys who did Cloudy.
Lord and Miller. The team of Lord and Miller.
They did Cloudy and they did 21. Jump Street.
Yeah.
They also did, a long time ago, they did a one season animated show on MTV, Clone High. Fantastic show.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
Check it out. It's about all these historical figures being resurrected and
as clones.
High school together.
Nice.
So,
I dig.
JFK is is dating Cleopatra.
Of course.
Abe Lincoln is in love with Cleopatra.
Uh-huh.
His best friend is Gandhi, who's a party animal.
Sweet.
It's just so much fun.
Man.
I recommend it if you go out there.
I first heard about that show when Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs came out, and I saw it. I was like, this movie's incredible. Where are these Lord Miller guys coming from? Someone pointed out. I was like, yeah, well, it actually came from this Clone High show, and it is a great show. So if you knew about that show, you would know that Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was going to be good.
That's when MTV believed in animation.
Oh, I remember back in the day.
Those were some good days.
Yeah. Yeah, before the
ridiculousness.
Yeah,
literally and figuratively.
Yes,
right towards the end. It's when they were kind of on the cliff, and then it was towards the end.
It was well after the Liquid Television.
Oh, Liquid Television was so
several
good.
Several years after Liquid Television.
Yeah. If you're old enough to remember Liquid Television,
the head, get a bit of head.
Get ready to start collecting those AARP checks, guys, because that was a long time ago. You were old. You are old.
Shout out
to the kids. A lot of kids listen to this show. A lot of youth listen. So they have no idea what we're talking about right now.
Nope. They're like, excuse me?
They're like, Liquid
the
Max?
Liquid Television?
Wikipedia. Give
Aeon
me information.
Flux? Oh, wait. That was a bad move. It turned that into a terrible live action movie.
They did
movie.
Turn Aeon Flux into a horrible, horrible movie.
God.
With Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, Peabody and Sherman, the thing is, it is a DreamWorks movie. DreamWorks, their track record's very spotty. You know, for every Kung Fu Panda and How to Train Your Dragon, they have 4 Madagascars, 5 Shreks. You know, I mean, they really can crank out the crap. Shark Tale. I mean, they spend a lot of money to make some really shitty movies. It's actually quite stunning sometimes how they do that. And then watching the trailers for this, they really didn't instill much hope in me. I was like, oh, they really cracked a way to make Peabody and Sherman really awesome and relevant today. And it's just... just felt very DreamWorksy. By the trailer, anyway. You know, judging the book on its cover, there obviously, I'm sure maybe the movie's quite good. Maybe it's not. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Actually, got to watch it. But you know what they did, right? You know what they did? 1 hour and 30 minutes. Good job, guys. Kept it short.
Yeah, that's
good for them.
And it's probably about 7 minutes of credits.
Yeah, probably right because the animated credits are always super long.
Mm-hmm.
$145 million budget, $148 million worldwide. Again, animated. It'll make its money back international because they can dub in all the voices and
Got your merchandise and
merchandising.
Sequel.
Merchandising. Obviously,
they're
they want
go.
A sequel. Yeah,
someone kids
nice
love
paycheck.
Their merch.
Video game spinoff. You know, the very bad video game spinoff. It's funny how it works both ways. You know, you're more likely to get a successful video game spinoff of a movie than you are to get a movie based on a video game. That's
correct.
Good.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
still.
But even still,
even
most
still,
of the
well,
movie video games
horrible.
Are god awful.
Some,
oh, yeah.
Some
Final
the
Fantasy
worst.
Was a big, big disappointment.
Yeah.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've
only, well, the one that was like in 2000? Advent Children or something?
No, the video game or a movie?
The movie.
Or the Spirits Within.
I remember that.
Oh, Spirits
one.
Within, that's what it was.
I remember that one. Yeah. With the dead eyes or one of the dead eyes.
Yeah.
The Uncanny Valley. You know about the Uncanny Valley, Drew?
I got something for your Uncanny Valley, buddy.
For my Uncanny Valley?
Am I on
Valley?
The right podcast?
what's going on here? All right, let's see. What's new coming out on DVD this week? Oh, well, we already mentioned this, I believe. Frozen.
No, there we go. Mm,
right? Frozen's coming out on...
I haven't seen it, but I know my niece has seen it 3 or 4 times.
Everybody's loves it.
Seen
it.
But
Yeah. It's one of those. Apparently, that song, Let It Go, is an earworm. Once you hear it, it's stuck in your head for days. A lot like there's a song in the Lego Movie, Everything Is Awesome.
Everything is awesome.
Stuck in your head for days, dude. For days.
Okay.
But you know what? Could be worse. So Frozen's coming out. While the kids are watching that in one room, you can watch American Hustle in the next room.
Good choice.
Right, because that's coming out on Tuesday as well. This one, I didn't get around to seeing it because, you know, on December, every weekend, there's like 4 movies coming out, so you got to pick and choose sometimes with your time. I didn't get around to seeing Saving Mr. Banks.
No, not did I.
Yeah. It was a lovely film.
Lovely, right?
I think lovely is the best word.
That's the reason why I didn't go out to see it in a theater, because there was no sense of urgency with the movie. It seems like a very fluffy, light, you know, it's a pleasant movie.
I mean,
movie.
It's a Disney movie. About Disney.
About Disney.
You know, and so they're not going to be as...
Like, they don't show them drinking or smoking, right?
No. Well, smoking.
Do you show them smoking?
A little bit, yeah.
And coughing a little? I heard that they show them coughing.
Yeah.
To kind of allude to the health problems.
Bit.
But no drinking.
I don't recall any drinking.
You know, I don't think there are any pictures of Walt Disney available with a drink or smoking.
He had probably good PR back in the day.
Well, he was his own PR guy. He knew to
Listen,
not... He's like,
Disney,
I'm not putting out images of myself like that.
If Disney wants something to disappear, they'll make it disappear.
Oh, yeah. Including people.
People, they're basically the Illuminati, but with, you know,
adorable
characters.
It's pretty much the Mafia with Mickey Mouse as the freaking godfather.
They're the entertainment Illuminati, and since we're in their backyard, I'd like to say shout out to Disney. We respect our current and future overlords at Cinema Crespedisa. Shout outs, Walt. Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom comes out on DVD. That's a good one. Okay.
I missed that one.
It's a good one. It's a, obviously it's a biopic, yeah, and it's a one that chooses to do the entire story approach, so it's long.
But they get his shirts down pat every time. They must have raided Nelson Mandela's actual closet.
They're like, Minnie, we know you got some of these laying around. Yeah. You know? Idris Elba's great. Mm-hmm. I knew a little bit about Nelson Mandela. You know, I wasn't a scholar or anything, mm-hmm, but about him or his life or whatever. So, seeing this movie, there was a lot of enlightening things about him, things I didn't know and about the situation at that time. You know, I knew the bullet points, mm-hmm, I knew the cliff notes. The movie helped fill in a lot of that stuff, and it done so in a very good way. And again, Elba, he was snubbed overall for a nomination.
Oh yeah.
With the past Oscars that just happened, I felt like there could have been a whole different set of five people nominated for Best Actor, and it wouldn't have.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. Idris Elba, Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix, yeah.
The dude from In Sutherland Davis.
Oscar Isaac, Oscar for Isaac. Sure. Yeah, yeah, he was great. Forest Whitaker,
yeah,
for Butler, he didn't get nominated.
We just need one more. Yeah, and
that was just four off the top of our head, yeah, right there, you know. McConaughey for Mud.
Oh, there we go. Oh, boom.
Yeah.
Because I felt for Mud, he should have.
Mud should have gotten more recognition during the Oscars.
Just came out too early.
That's the way it is.
It's a timing thing, you know. Mm-hmm. That came out like May or something.
Yeah. Well, I saw it here at the Florida Film Festival last year. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then it came out in theaters about a month or two after that.
Yeah.
And then even I didn't get a chance to see it because I was at the Florida Film Festival and make it out there. I didn't get to see it on DVD until like August or something like that, you know, with the family. And then I watched it. I was like, this is great. And then my dad was like, this is boring.
I even ended up buying it. It's such a very good original American story.
I love Jeff Nichols. He's great. He's one of our young filmmakers, mm-hmm, new filmmakers I think we really need to start paying attention to. Yeah. And, you know, it'll be sad when, you know, Hollywood eventually gets their hooks in him and he starts making the big budget movies. It's going to happen. Yeah. A lot of these guys, that's what they want to do, you know, mm-hmm, and, you know, respect.
And that's sort of what the route that David Gordon Green has taken. You know, he did his independent films that are all very good. He did
four incredible ones, and then someone gave him the money.
Yeah.
for Pineapple Express.
Yeah, he found weed and decided, I'm going to make weed films. But now he's going to be doing. He's back to the independent stuff.
Well, he did the Prince Avalanche.
Yeah,
Prince fantastic Avalanche movie.
I liked it. It wasn't my favorite, but Joe is going to be at the Florida Film Festival
with Nick Cage.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
It's going to be a strange combination, but I'm looking forward to it.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm a huge Nick Cage fan, so I think he's going to do great under David Gordon Green's direction. And Jeff Nichols, man, that guy. Take Shelter, have you seen that one?
I haven't seen Take Shelter. I still haven't seen Shotgun Stories.
It's good. It's, you know, it definitely...
I'm sure there's...
Because he's growing as a filmmaker, exactly. So it goes in order. Shotgun Stories is good.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of great Michael Shannon throughout the whole thing. He's pretty much the lead. Take Shelter. It's strong, strong fantastic movie. Love it.
Michael Shannon again.
And then, he's got a smaller part in Mud. Matthew McConaughey steps in. He's awesome. And Mud, I think Mud is probably the best of the three of them. You know?
Yes.
So.
Mud is his pinnacle so far.
He's
getting better each time.
And then he's just three movies, man.
Yeah.
Oh, so exciting. So exciting. Looking forward to that. So there you go. Those are your movies coming out on DVD this week. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
Coming out in theaters this weekend, Muppets Most Wanted.
All right. Sweet. I love Muppets.
I'm looking forward to it. I love the Muppets. I actually got to see the world premiere of the Muppets at the Savannah Film Festival in 2011.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very nice. The was it just the Muppets, the last one, or the Muppets movie? What was the name of the last one?
It was just the Muppets.
Yeah. That's awesome. The world premiere.
The world premiere.
That's awesome. That's a premiere. I was talking about the show earlier, how there's a lot of people out there like say, I'm going to the premiere of the movie, and they're just going to a fucking advanced screening in their local town, you know, that they invite all the goddamn people from the mall to go see,
too.
A premiere is a special goddamn thing. Mm-hmm. The most premiere thing I ever saw, I saw an East Coast premiere of John Dies at the End, Florida Film Festival.
Yeah.
Was that last year or 2 years ago? I think it was last year.
I think it was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, John Dies at the End, East Coast premiere at the Florida Film Festival. Don Coscarelli was there for Q&A. That was a premiere.
Nice, yeah.
You know, and even then, it was just East Coast. You're talking about a world premiere. Before everyone else got to see it in the world, you got to see it.
What was interesting about the Muppets premiere is that...
Kermit was in attendance.
It was actually... not quite... Yeah. It was actually a secret screening.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
So
one of those things.
You really
only
knew about 15 minutes beforehand.
Oh, that's fun.
You just
knew you were sitting down to see something.
Yeah, pretty much. And there was no red carpet. It was in the middle of the film festival. So
right.
Things sort of have died down, but the secret screening is sort of like the big one of the week.
Yeah, yeah. Because who knows what it is? It's a secret screening.
Yep.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. Oh, well, the new Muppets come out. I hope it's as good as the last one. We'll see.
Well, it's got Tina Fey.
Yeah, and it's got that guy.
from Modern Family?
Yes.
Yeah, I always forget his name. Yeah.
Ty Burrell.
Ty Burrell, yeah.
There you go.
Ricky Gervais is in it too.
Yes.
Yeah. He has the bad guy. Actually, isn't that his name? Like, his last name is Bad Guy.
I think it's Bad Guy.
But he's like, Bad Guy. It's French, something like that.
I bet he has an awesome maniacal laugh.
Probably. Oh, yeah. He better. Yeah. Awesome Muppets. I love the Muppets. That's going to be a lot of fun. What else is coming out in theaters?
Also coming out, Divergent.
Sweet.
After that, Nymphomaniac Volume 1 with Shia LaBeouf, directed by Lars von Trier.
It's another Insomniac movie.
Yeah, that's definitely an Insomniac movie. That'll probably be a limited release, though. That's not playing your big multiplexes anytime soon. And then Divergent, based on a worldwide bestseller. I mean, what do you got to do to qualify to be worldwide? I feel like there's a lot of worldwide bestsellers.
Just because
it's a
bestseller doesn't mean it's a good movie.
Right, correct. Yeah, just because it sold a lot of copies. Listen, millions of people can be wrong. It happens all the time. I like, what's her name? Charlene Woodley.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very good.
I like her quite a bit.
She was in Descendants.
Yes.
Yeah, I did not see the movie that she was in with, what's his face, Miles Teller.
The Spectacular Now.
It's good. We saw it. Yeah.
It looks like something down my alley.
That's a good movie. Yeah. It's really good, actually. I really, really like that. Actually, that's the movie that made me like Miles Teller, because I was like, I don't know about this guy. And then the movie, and he's good.
I first saw him in The Rabbit Hole, which I didn't like entirely, but he was really good.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice to see a teenager doesn't look like a Justin Bieber.
Yeah. He's more of a normal looking dude. He's more about his charms and everything, motor mouth type of thing, which works. Mm-hmm. Which works for him.
He's like a cleaner version of us. Seth Rogen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And slightly healthier, too.
Probably
a little more gluten-free. Let's take a break. We're going to jump into the Crespo Disco here. I have one song, but it's a long one. Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood. It's a French disco tune from the 70s by Santa Esmeralda. I think that's the name of the group. But the song, you may recognize it by, like, somewhere around the middle of the song. From then on, you might recognize that because it's from Kill Bill Volume 1, Tarantino used, like, the second half of the song for the build-up to the final fight between the bride and Lucy Liu.
Uh-huh.
Good stuff there.
Cool.
So enjoy the song. It's a doozy. We'll be back with the second half of the show. We got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about some St. Patrick's Day Irish movies. We got some questions from people. Got some movie news and a lightning round. Juicy Cogburn versus the world. Swag bags. I mean, come on. You're going to want to hear all this stuff, right? So we'll be right back.
Misunderstood. Oh, don't let me be misunderstood. Sometimes I'm so carefree, but the joy is hard to hide. Sometimes it seems that all I have to do is worry, and then you're bound to see my upside. If I seem edgy, I want you to know that I never meant to take it out on you. Life has its problems and I've got my share. That's one thing I never meant to do, 'cause I love you. Oh baby, don't you know I'm human? Like any other man, and sometimes I feel myself alone, regretting some foolish thing I've done. 'Cause I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be
misunderstood. Up, it's your boy Stone the Terrible, aka your girl topped me off, y'all start kissing right after I dropped her off. Forget that, yo, radio. For all your movie news and reviews, check out Cinema Crespediso. Let's get it.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Welcome to the second half of episode 62 of Cinema Crespo Diso. It is me, Christopher Crespo, hanging out with Drew Sigogman. Drew,
how's it going, bro?
Hanging out, man, and with Aaron Weiss. Aaron,
hello, everyone.
How you doing, Aaron Weiss? Sciencey papers.
Sciencey papers. Sciencey papers.
Is it a German name? German last name? Weiss.
It is.
Weiss.
Yes.
It means
yeah.
White.
Yeah, it means white.
Oh, okay.
Usually, there's an e at the end.
Yeah, you know, like.
But you don't have an e.
No, I don't have an e. In
so you do W E I S S.
Yes.
You know, like Das Weissbahn.
Das Weissbahn.
Have you ever
right.
had Weiss chocolate?
Weiss chocolate? No.
Weiss chocolate. White chocolate.
No.
Yeah, very good. I love white chocolate.
White chocolate.
And not just because it's my name, but it's just very good.
Weiss chocolate. If people want to find you on Twitter,
At Cinema Funk.
And your own? Do you have another one too, or just Cinema Funk?
Well, I mostly post on.
You just use
Funk.
The Cinema Funk only.
Yeah, but right. You can also find me at Aaron Meister. I
the personal one.
The personal stuff and the more controversial things.
Oh,
yeah,
you ride that lightning. Huh?
Yeah.
The Twitter lightning.
Yeah.
Cinema Funk and CinemaFunk.com.
CinemaFunk.com. I'm on the Facebook and the Google Pluses and
yes,
those are the three I mostly.
Just go ahead and Google Cinema Funk and that's what's going to come up. It's full of funk. That's Cinema Funk. Cinema Funktastic.
Mm-hmm.
Cinema Funkadelic. Hey, that's I'm gonna write that one down too. I'm trying to figure out show titles. You know, Cinema Funkadelic. Actually, I think that's it. That might be a winner.
I'll let you use the trademark for a little bit.
There
too.
We go. All right, then I'll add the R at the end. The registered. All right, so please go to cinemafunk.com and support Aaron because he's a good guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty cool.
He's pretty cool. He deserves it. Drew, where can people get you online?
At Antihero419 on Instagram and Twitter.
All right. And remember, ChrisCrespo.com. Go there for reviews, past episodes of Cinema Crespo Diso, Dr. Drew's 2 cents, the latest episode on food is popping.
Is it?
It's popping, Drew.
Oh, man.
People are enjoying it.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I mean, I just went on a rant about how, you know, things that I hate about the food industry.
Yeah. And, you know, I think helped, too, a little bit also, which is kind of funny. All right, so earlier this week, Aaron, you know the whole Because you've been in Orlando before. You're not in Orlando now.
Yeah, I don't live here now.
But you know about 104.1, Real Radio, the talk radio station, FM. Did you ever listen to any of that stuff?
Not really, no.
Okay, they have a bunch of shows throughout the day during the week. Mm-hmm. And I got my start on doing radio stuff on their night show
with
SBK Live.
SBK Live, right, yeah. SBK. I know about that little thing.
Yeah, that little thing, right? So mm-hmm. That's on this radio station, 104.1, Real Radio.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, a little over a year and a few months ago, crazy shit went down at that station where, like, they canceled that show, not because of ratings or anything, but because of other stuff. They canceled that show.
Just the whole brand redesign.
Yeah.
Happens all the time. My brother's in radio.
So he knows.
He knows. The same thing happened in Howard Stern's Private Parts. Just one day, he's...
Like
the country station.
You're gone, you're here. Yeah. So what happened was, it wasn't the whole station flipped, but they canceled the night show. They put Kevin on the morning show. They put Angel, another guy, they put him on like a whole other station. And then the other guy, Matt, they just fired him.
Yeah.
You know, it was really sad. And then there went my nighttime spot, right? But what happened was Kevin, so he's on this morning show now. Number one rated morning show, huge ratings.
Mm-hmm.
The Monsters in the Morning.
Okay.
This past Thursday, the main host guy and, like, the second guy, the two guys that have been on the show the longest, they were both out for different reasons. So Kevin was hosting. So it was Kevin, Angel, who was brought back from the other station. I was on that show. And he brought in Matt, who was fired. So he reunited SBK Live on the morning show. And then he invited a whole bunch of people on that used to be on the show on night. And
went crazy.
And it was a crazy morning show.
Revenge.
Yeah. It was an awesome. It was a takeover. It was a lot of fun. I got to do like half an hour of that show. We did a movie Chain Game. And I think that helped a little bit. With the listenership, because there's been a nice little spike in the last couple of days, because also the podcast too. Mm-hmm. People are checking out the podcast and stuff. I bring all that up because I think it's funny that I do that. I can get out there, manage to get a little bump going with the appearance on the morning show, because it's a huge audience. And Drewster Cogburn's Dr. Drew's 2 Cents, the bonus episode, is the last one that's available. So that's the one that people are checking out first. not a Cinema Crossbodiso one, but a Dr. Drew's 2 Cents, which is great. So I'm like, yes.
This is fantastic.
This is Drewster Cogburn.
People are getting berated by my silliness.
He's hating on people's gluten-free stuff. And do you have any food allergies that Drew can hate on
quick? No food allergies.
Yeah, because I hate on people with food allergies. It's fun.
I am mostly vegetarian, but that's just
I hate on that,
thing.
Too.
Okay,
I hate it on that. Yeah.
It's okay.
It's one of the. It is. It is what it is.
It was a fun episode. Yeah, you should check it out. It was good times. So that was fun. So actually, hey, mentioning that, you can go and look up a Monsters in the Morning podcast, and it's a Thursday show. And what's today? Today's
Sunday.
15, 14. So the show for the 13th.
Okay.
Thursday the 13th. Check that out. It was all SBK all day. I'm on like around the third hour or something. It was awesome. Good times. So you brought up a good idea before the show, because it is St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Myself not being Irish and also drinking every day already. Like I don't need a reason to drink. I'm always, you know.
Yeah.
So St. Patrick's Day isn't on my radar. You know, it's like, oh, it's
a day to drink.
I'm supposed to be drinking today. I'm supposed to be drinking Irish beer. Mm-hmm. Whatever. You know, it doesn't matter. So you thought of the great idea, Irish movies. Yeah. I was like, oh, there are. The one that came to mind immediately, when you said Irish movie, the one that came to mind immediately is Blown Away, the action movie with Jeff Bridges, Tommy Lee Jones, Forrest Whitaker. It's like 1993, 94. A bunch of U2 on the soundtrack. I mean, it takes place in Boston. It goes over the top, but it's Irishness, you know, but it's Irish-Americanness. Lloyd Bridges is in it playing... Jeff Bridges' dad, which is awesome. You know, whenever you can do something like that in a movie, it's great. And it's a movie about Tommy Lee Jones. It's like an ex-IRA guy, and he's trying to... Jeff Bridges is, like, living a new life under a new name in Boston, and Tommy Lee Jones comes to Boston to find him, and he's, like, bombing people and stuff, and it's a pretty intense, crazy movie. It's actually very, very good. It was on the Netflix instant for a little while. I just checked. It wasn't on there. As of yesterday, it wasn't on there.
Aww.
You know. But so that's the one I thought of.
Mm-hmm.
Right away. When you said Irish movies, St. Patrick's Day movies, did you have one in mind, or did you just think of that and then all of a sudden you're like, I can't?
Well, I'll admit I had to look up what has been made recently, but some of the early I just lost his name. Where is it? Daniel Day-Lewis films, My Left Foot.
Yes.
That was one of the first ones that came up in my mind.
The Jim Sheridan movies.
Yeah. And apparently Excalibur from 1981.
Yeah, right. I wanted to say Braveheart, but that's Scottish.
That's Scottish.
Yeah, so that would have been a
Zardoz.
Gaffe. Zardoz.
With Sean Connery.
Even though he's Scottish.
Yeah, but he's in an Irish movie.
And apparently Barry Lyndon was filmed in Ireland, but I don't know if it's an Irish film.
I would know that's Irish because it's so epic. But Barry Lyndon does so
much. I am looking
so
at Wikipedia, so you have to say
it. Yeah, it is a Wikipedia. What about the Boondock Saints? That's an Irish action movie set in Boston.
Yeah.
But I guess technically it's
but
not
it's
an Irish
it's
film.
Boston though.
Yeah.
It's Boston Irish.
Boston Irish.
Not Irish Irish.
The worst type of Irish.
Oh. Take that, Boston.
Reign of Fire with Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey, Dragons.
Yeah. Does that take place in Ireland or is it Irish?
It says Irish.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. Because that's just a post apocalyptic world at that point. Yeah. Ireland, America, UK, it doesn't matter. It's all it's humans versus dragons.
Yep.
And Matthew McConaughey shirtless once again.
Yeah, Gerard Butler's in it too.
There is a funny scene in Reign of Fire where the adults they're putting on a performance for all the little kids, like in the caves, and they're reenacting Empire Strikes Back. They're telling the story of Empire Strikes Back, and they're doing the I am your father scene. Mm-hmm. And then when they go I am your father, all the kids go, oh! You know, like they're all sucked into it. It's a really cute little moment, and it's also cool how they took the time to throw in that detail about if it's a post-apocalyptic future. But like our post-apocalyptic future, the stories we will tell our children we will pass on will be the movies that we saw. Like, oh, let me tell you the story of the Luke Skywalker and the Star Wars. You know, that was a nice little detail. The rest of the movie is
pretty garbage.
They're dragons.
Lame dragons.
Apparently they're Irish dragons. I had no idea. Any other Irish?
You know, I'm looking at this list and I'm realizing
none of them are that hot.
I haven't really seen a lot of them.
The only ones I can think of are Boston Irish.
That animated one, The Secret of Kells.
I never saw that.
Neither did I, but apparently it's very good.
Is that listed as an Irish film?
Yeah.
Actually, I think that was Oscar nominated for animated film.
2009, yeah, it was, yeah.
Secret of Kells.
I like the animation team. Didn't care too much for the Secret
of Kells. Who was the team?
Let me see if I can quickly look. I think they did The Illusionist.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. So we're talking about European fellas, European animators, those guys. All right, well, there you go. There's some Irish movies out there. Only the Lonely with John Candy. I think it's just another one that's in Boston. It's not really. The Departed.
The Departed.
Right? You can do that all day, I guess. The Boston.
Yeah.
Boston Irish. The Fida.
The Town.
The Town. There you go. Just stick to the Boston movies, and you got your Irish flicks. All right, let's see. We got a couple of stories here. Let me pull up these stories. Aaron, I'll let you choose. You want to talk first about the remake of The Birds, about movie theft, or the 3D summit that just happened?
The movie theft, or just movie
about
theft?
Movie theft. The story about movie theft.
Let's do movie theft because the Birds one sounds depressing.
Yeah, well, we're gonna get to it eventually. Making movie theft easier. A story that was originally reported by a website called Torrent Freak. They pointed out that there is an app that is now pretty much the Netflix for movie piracy.
Nice.
Okay. It's called...
Do they take movies down randomly?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
So I think that makes them better than Netflix, doesn't it?
Sounds like it.
But then again, if you're not paying for the movies, you don't got to worry about the licensing and stuff. There we go, Aaron. It's time for some Juicy Cogburn versus the world. That's what that sound means. Juicy Cogburn versus the world. Juicy Cogburn versus the world. Juicy Cogburn versus Aaron Cinemafunk. All right. Well, we'll stick a pin in the conversation about the movie theft. About the we'll reveal the name of this app that I do not recommend people use because I do not promote movie piracy. But still, I also don't want to get sued. Also, don't want to get sued. You already got Disney breathing down our necks.
Dude, talking about that's the least of our worries about getting sued.
Actually, I do want to get sued. I've been trying to get sued since we started the show.
I want that really big cease and desist order from Warner Brothers.
Yeah, Warner Brothers sues podcast.
Yes,
front page news.
Listen, it's good publicity for you.
Yes,
exactly.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'll take the $2.5 million hit. I'll make installment payments.
Because
then I'll start having an audience, and that makes money. It all makes sense. All right, this game is called Scene Partners. I'm going to give you two actors, or actor, actress, two actresses, whatever. Maybe two actors, and then you tell me what movie they were in together.
Okay.
Drew, actually, for this year.
I'm one and one.
You're only one. We've only had two guests in the year in 2014. It's been... February was a crazy month.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, February was crazy. So we've settled back down now. We can get back into this. So you're one and one. I can't remember if you won or lost, so we'll go ahead and give it to the guest to start out. Do you want A or B? Which group do you want first?
Team B.
All right. Pick your poison. Here we go. I'll give you the actors. You tell me the movie. Benicio Del Toro and Brad Pitt.
I can't picture it. I can't think of it.
It's a tough one.
It is.
But it's, you're going to be like, oh!
It's always that way.
Snatch.
Yeah. No, I was never really into that.
I don't even think they have any scenes together either. Yeah. So. Number two, Matt Damon and Clive Owen.
Can't think of it either.
Both Aaron and Drew with quizzical looks on their face trying to remember a movie. With both Matt Damon and Clive Owen. This one, they definitely had a scene together. Faux show.
For some reason, I'm thinking The Closer, but I know that's not it.
Closer?
Closer.
Yeah, that's not it. That's one of the...
Matt Damon wasn't even in that.
Jude Law.
Yeah, it was Jude Law. Oh, man, that movie was kind of depressing.
Kind of depressing,
and
yeah.
Makes well, that's me really Mike Nichols not for you. Trust
yeah, Mike
any...
Nichols, right?
It makes me not trust people watching that movie.
It's a people or shit movie.
Yes.
I don't know.
Nothing. The Bourne Identity.
Clive
Owen was one of... He is one of the assets. He's the one that sticks
really?
A knife in his hand, and they have that crazy fight scene, and...
I had a feeling it was the Bourne.
It was one of the Bournes.
For some reason, yeah.
It was that very first one. That was right before Clive Owen really became that popular. I think it was right after he did Croupier. Number three, Julia Roberts and Denzel Washington.
Just saw this movie the other day.
Did you really?
Yep. On television.
Crazy.
These are hard.
It's not the easiest game. Scene Partners is not the easiest game. No.
And he makes it that way. He's evil.
I'm trying to think what Denzel's been in.
Denzel.
It's really, they're both really young.
I have a feeling it's like, the early 90s. I'm trying to think of the one where he was military court, I think it was. Okay, you're giving me a look, so that's not the.
No,
be
I don't
it.
Think so. Military court.
I have to pass.
I don't think there was a military court. You're going to pass?
Yeah.
The Pelican Brief. I just saw it.
just because you shout into the mic does not mean you get the point, Drew. But that's the Pelican Brief. All right, number four.
I knew it. I was surprised.
All right, now this one, I think this is the toughest one of these. Well, actually. Number four, here we go. Meryl Streep and Jim Carrey.
Oh, man. The Majestic?
No. Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate
Events. I never saw that one.
Yeah.
No, I saw that one in theaters, and I don't remember Meryl Streep in that. But the IMDb says she was. Number five, Nicolas Cage. We already mentioned him.
Mm-hmm.
And Val Kilmer.
Isn't that Face Off?
No, Val Kilmer's not in Face Off. Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans.
Yeah, that was
one of my insomnia films. I fell asleep during.
Oh, you fell asleep during
Val Kilmer.
Werner Herzog could do that.
I like Herzog's documentaries.
Yeah. Herzog's great. The Into the Abyss.
That'll get you.
That'll keep you not put you asleep. That will keep you awake, and you'll be horrified.
Grizzly Man.
Yeah,
that'll keep you awake.
I'll definitely watch a movie about a guy getting his face eaten off by a bear before I go to bed. So Aaron, you're 0-5.
Classic Aaron.
Ooh, here we go.
Get one right.
You just gotta get one right, Drew. That's all you gotta do.
Just one.
Aaron, you should have picked A. You should have picked A. Here we go. Number one, Christian Bale and Mark Wahlberg.
That's easy.
See?
Come on,
but it's
unfair.
Not on you, right? But look at him, he's stumped.
Wait a minute.
Now the tables have turned, Aaron.
The Fighter.
Yeah, Fighter. See, yeah, you should have picked A. You pick your own poison, man. Number two, Will Smith and Charlize Theron.
What was the frickin' name of that stupid movie? Superheroes. He's got a silly, stupid name, but it's not superhero-y.
Mm-hmm. I know this one.
You know this
oh,
one? I know this
God. One. What's this? What's it? Oh, God. It's one name.
Can we do a do-over?
Does it?
You turn back time.
I think
Chris Baldiso take two.
Does it start with a I forget the name of the movie.
Oh, all right.
I've seen it, though.
Aaron?
Hancock?
There we go. That's it.
Okay, right. Number three, George Clooney and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, that's easy, too.
Right? I thought they were all easy, to be honest, yeah. But apparently A seems easier than B.
Clooney and Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, Clooney and Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Batman
and Robin.
Oh, God, you're totally right. Yeah. He was the Batman in that terrible Batman movie, wasn't he?
He goes, "Hi, Freeze, I'm Batman." That's exactly how he said it.
You know, if I chose this group A, I would be 3 for 5
you,
at this
right,
point.
Right? Yeah, you would think so, right? Exactly. You know? Pick your poison, man.
See, I know what I'm talking about. I just didn't know those.
It was just, those were stuff. You needed to warm up is what it was. Yeah. Number four. It's easy to. Jamie Foxx and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, that's easy.
Right?
He has to actually think about it.
Yeah, well, if you say it's easy up front, then that puts the pressure on you.
I know.
And
like,
then
wait
your
a
brain
minute.
Locks up.
Because I thought of it. Oh, man. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yep. That guy.
Jamie Foxx.
Those guys. Two of them.
I'm drawing a giant blank on this one.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aaron? Tell me.
Django Unchained. No, Django.
Oh, man.
Right? Come on. Right there.
I know.
Totally picked the wrong list.
Yeah. And number five, Bruce Willis and Bill Murray.
This one's drawing a blank for me.
Bruce Willis.
Oh, I got it.
Okay. Oh, he's got it.
I got it.
Aaron's got it.
Bill Murray.
It's that one.
It's that one that's running tip of your tongue.
Tip of your word.
Moonrise Kingdom.
Moonrise Kingdom. There you go. All right. So you got 2 out of 5 on that one. That was an interesting game, guys. All right. Well, there you go. Drew wins. Good job, Drew.
I'm sorry, audience. I could have done better.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a disparity there.
I think I lost last time. I think it was right after Roger Ebert had passed away. We did
An Ebert one?
Yeah.
Those are tough ones.
They
like
are
a thumbs
tough.
Up, thumbs down one.
You never know.
The tiebreaker was closest to the pin. How much did the Pelican Brief make in theaters? Closest to the pin.
No, let's say $50 million.
He says $50 million.
$65 million.
$100.7 million in 1993. That's a bona fide hit.
So technically, I'd win by Price is Right rules.
Price is Right rules. Yeah, absolutely. Right, okay. You could have gotten $50.1 million. Yeah, $50 million. And you would have been. So good job, Drew. You're 2-1 now for 2014. Jessica Cogburn versus the World. We'll update the big board later. Back to this movie piracy thing. All right, so guys, there's this app out called Popcorn Time.
Popcorn Time.
Popcorn Time.
So there's Run P, and now there's Popcorn Time.
What's Run P? I don't know. Run P
is a website that you can find out what movie you can see and what time, at what point in the movie you can leave to pee and not miss any.
Oh,
pop
I've heard of that. Yeah. I've heard of apps like that. Yeah, that's an interesting little thing there. There's also Double Feature Finder.
Oh, okay.
.com. That's a website. Just Google Double Feature Finder.
I know of
gets
that.
All the double features.
You can. You just have to pay for the price of one ticket. And it'll tell you what movies you can go into.
It's like Double Feature Finder. Yeah. It gives you a list of like what movies you can see, like when they each stop and start. So if you pick on a movie, it's like, well, these are the ones that play before. Here's the ones that play after.
Yep.
You can plan that your whole day.
Cinema Hop.
Yes.
Nice.
So that's also a form of movie piracy, though.
It sort of is, yeah.
But you know what? Picky cheesy. But what this Popcorn Time is, what this is all about is you pull it up. And you get a whole list of movies, and it's all movies that are on DVD already. For example, for 2014, as earlier this week, they had American Hustle available for download on this site because it's gonna come out on DVD on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of these Oscar films have the screeners all out in the world now.
Yeah, but I don't think they're the screeners though, because these are from actual printing houses. They're not like when you go to get a torrent and you download a movie, because I've seen those. You get a downloaded movie, and then it sits at the bottom for your consideration. Mm-hmm. These are like straight up from production houses. And I don't know, someone's leaking them out, I don't know who, But they're all, and like, so for 2014, the things that are on there now are direct-to-video movies and things that have just come out on DVD already.
Well, maybe it's somebody in the DVD factory.
Yeah, exactly. It's someone who found a way to make some money somehow.
Well, someone who's got early access to these movies. Because, I mean, it's not like the day the movie comes out, all of a sudden, you know, the day before all these DVDs were printed.
Right.
These DVDs were printed probably 6 months ago and they're sitting in a warehouse somewhere.
Well, I don't know if they're printed that long ago. You think they were printed that long ago? Maybe not that long ago.
I don't think that long ago.
And then this article points out that, for example, at this time, even though American Hustle is on there as of right now, there's no Wolf of Wall Street, no Philomena, no Her, no Hobbit 2, no Walter Mitty, no Anchorman 2, no Lone Survivor. So a lot of those really recent movies, not on there. It's definitely a DVD thing, but still, it's free.
Yeah.
You just get the app or whatever, you set it up properly, and then you just watch whatever the hell you want to watch.
Streaming or download?
It's streaming, I believe, yes. And, you know, it just makes it so easy. And then part of the problem, even though Torrent Freak is the website that put this out there, Time.com, Time Magazine, they're the ones that kind of, they picked up the story and they blew it out there. So now Time, you know, division of Time Warner, blah, 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 you know, conglomerate, if you go hop behind them, they all own everything. They're putting out a story out there letting people know, hey, here's this app where you can get free movies. Enjoy.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's strange, yeah.
All right, it's a weird approach.
You can't control all the many tentacles of the
beast.
Corporate octopus.
Yeah.
Octopus, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is many tentacled and disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And spitting oils and ugh.
Yeah.
Gross. But some popcorn time, guys. If you want to get some free movies, there you go. We do not condone piracy of movies. That's in the Crest
Producer. We're just
reporting the news and into the occasional cinema hopping. 3D story or The Birds? Drew.
3D.
All right. Here's a story about 3D. You know why I pulled this story? I'll tell you exactly why. Because now I'm looking at it like, why the hell did I pick a story about 3D? I'll tell you why I picked a story about 3D. James Cameron wants more 3D.
Well, if James Cameron wants it, I'll give it to him.
He wants more 3D. This is at the 3D Creative Summit in London, as according to Variety. Quote, James Cameron, "The best work has been done by confident filmmakers like Ang Lee, Martin Scorsese, and Alfonso Cuarón. They are confident, so they didn't worry about asking questions, and there are no dumb questions. Ask questions on day one and two and go nuts on day three." He does point out like the three best directors, the three best uses of 3D.
Yeah.
I've always said that if anyone's going to make 3D a quality gimmick, it's going to be a real artist.
Right. Yeah. Like Ang Lee with Life of Pi. I saw Hugo in 3D.
Hugo was great in 3D.
It looked
Gravity,
great.
Gravity, yeah.
Yeah, obviously Gravity, you know. And I'm not big on 3D. I'm down on it. I was on it.
I'm
was with
really
3D at first.
It.
I was like, I'm going to give 3D a shot. This will be fun. It's like, you know, like when you're a kid, it'll make movies interesting again. You're not interesting again, but add extra dimension. And it's just a burden, man. It's a pain in the ass. It makes the screen darker.
The films that need to be 3D aren't, like, I really think Tree of Life should have been 3D.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, that would have been nice.
That would have been fantastic.
That would have been nice. But some of that footage was shot like 20 years ago, too.
That's
you know?
True, too, yeah.
But then again, post-conversion has come a long way. It's not like we're many years now from Clash of the Titans, and that was horrible, right? So Cameron also said, some filmmakers are too conservative. I think I was maybe even too conservative on Avatar. I'm going to go deeper on the Avatar sequels.
Going crazy.
So he wants bigger, bolder 3D is what James Cameron wants.
See, I think the opposite. Mm-hmm. I think people should take a more conservative stance. Even Hitchcock
was
conservative with Dial M for Murder.
Mm-hmm, right.
So much that he didn't even want to do it, so he actually kept the dual lenses as close together as possible.
To minimize the stereoscopicity.
Mm-hmm. So there's only a handful of times where you really see the 3D in use on Hitchcock's film.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's funny that he would be so hesitant with 3D when at Universal Studios they did a whole 3D Birds presentation.
Yep.
They went into the theater and they did like the birds would come out of the screen and they were trying to show off their 3D.
Yeah.
I wonder if did Hitchcock ever want that? Was that in 3D? The original?
I don't think it was.
You know, I've heard people say it is, but I don't think it really
the
is.
The original? Birds. Yeah. You know. If we're already talking about the birds, it's a natural segue.
Yep.
If I type in birds 3D, I get free birds.
Free birds?
Yeah.
Free bird! So, the birds is getting remade.
Hooray.
By the same company behind the remakes of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, and we're talking about Platinum Dunes, Michael Bay's company, Michael Bay's producing, and they found a director,
gonna be hunk of shit,
a Dutch filmmaker, Diederik van, no, not Diederik van,
the Dutch,
Diederik van Region, Region, ah, sorry, butchered.
How many O's and E's are in that name?
Two O's, one E.
I quickly did some brief research on Wikipedia.
Okay.
Yes, Birds was released on 3D for a few first run engagements.
There you go. So the experiment's
revived,
a little bit.
It's been revived a few times in the 80s.
Again, yeah, because the 3D revival of the 80s was a pretty big deal. Yeah. And then got destroyed by Jaws 3D.
Stick to the 2D and just increase the volume. Yeah. That's what that
the sound
about.
Design is much, yes. But yeah, the actual sound of the birds pecking at mm-hmm. people and stuff, yeah. We'll see what this one. If it's Platinum Dunes, I guess it's going to be over the top and violent and bloody and probably grim and not very fun.
Yep.
So, yeah. The birds, hey, you know, it's only a matter of time. I mean, Psycho got remade. Gus Van Sant did a shot-for-shot remake of it.
Yeah.
And that worked out so great.
That
worked out. No? No one? Yeah. No one?
No
one agrees on that one there? I got a couple questions from some listeners, people who enjoy the show. If you want to have a question or a topic for the show, you can hit us up on Twitter at @IamChrisCrespo or at @CrespoDiso or email us at cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. This is from @MattCelery, #fanboyquestion. Which would you prefer? Hellboy 3, Pacific Rim prequel, or a well-made Dragon Ball Z movie? All right, so that's interesting. Fanboy question.
Hellboy 3.
You would go Hellboy 3.
Hellboy 3.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Any particular reason why over the other ones?
I really like Hellboy. I haven't read a lot of the comic books, but I like what I have read.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to see a Hellboy 3, and I'd like to be a little bit more comedic.
Amp up the comedy.
Yeah, I really enjoy the dry humor.
Mm-hmm.
Hellboy 3.
Hellboy 3, you're going to Hellboy
3. Although a DBZ live action would be, a well done DBZ live action would be.
I did specifically note, well made Dragon mm-hmm. Ball Z movie. Yeah. Specifically noted yeah. that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I also was not a fan of Pacific Rim.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
That's sad.
That's sad. That
this might get me shot, but I was sitting in the movie the entire time.
No guns here.
I've seen the movie the entire time. Every 10 minutes, I've just seen myself. This is the stupidest thing ever.
Nah, really? Just not into it at all.
People around me loved it. People were just like gasping. And
yeah. It's a big, crazy movie. Fun movie. Yeah.
But I enjoyed the Charlie Day storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And believe it or not, a lot of people say I look like Charlie Day.
I can see that.
Yeah. But, yeah. I'm literate. I promise you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he not literate?
Charlie Day is
he's illiterate.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah. Isn't he really? Yeah. Sunny's pretty
I would
fresh,
like to try Milksteak.
Milksteak? Is that another Sunny thing?
Yeah, it's an Always Sunny thing. Yeah.
I gotta get more into that show. It's a funny, I've seen some of that show and it's funny. I just never really got that into it, you know?
Check it out.
Keep rewatching my news radio DVDs over and over.
Oh, that's cool.
And Seinfeld.
Good too.
And Seinfeld.
Well, I stick with the classics.
Yeah, you know, just between those two, there's just so much to watch over and over. Mm-hmm. That, you know.
I need to get into The Wire.
That's another one I gotta get into. Yeah. We gotta get that HBO Go set up. Start mm-hmm. watching that Wire. Because everyone talks about it. It's like it's Breaking Bad or The Wire. It's like one of those two. Well, if Breaking Bad, you know, I've already seen Breaking Bad, so I gotta see The Wire. Drew, Hellboy 3, Pacific Rim prequel, or well-made Dragon Ball Z movie?
I want a Pac Rim prequel.
Pac Rim prequel. Yeah?
No.
All right.
That's what I want.
What would be the prequel? The one the first time the portal opens and they fight the smaller monsters?
Maybe the...
With the more primitive robots?
Yeah, I mean, because it says this happens, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
then
yeah,
at the end, there's
sweet
just
exposition.
These. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
so, yeah. You know, maybe during the golden age where there's a bunch of crazy robots out there just beating the shit out of giant monsters.
And all the robot guys are like super popular in pop culture and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Why don't they just call it Power Rangers?
At that point, Power Rangers, take that.
Yeah.
Or Robot Jocks. Did you ever see Robot Jocks?
Never saw that one.
Classic from the 80s. Stuart Gordon movie. The guy who did Reanimator. And it's a movie about it's in a future world where there's no more war. Instead of war, and there's no more countries. It's like corporations. I might be mixing up that with Rollerball. But there's no more war, and instead of fighting, they send giant 200-foot robots to do battle. and they and each country has to send like their best pilot of the robots, and they do battle and they're robot jocks, and it's super cheesy and stop motion and corny, and I love it. It's amazing. Amazing. It's so good. You know what? Hellboy 3, I liked Hellboy. It's a cool character. Hellboy 2 disappointed me. It was very slapdash and didn't feel very coherent as a story. It wasn't as tight as the first one, but in the first one, they had the studio force the white character on them, the intermediate character for the audience, you know? So I don't know how a third one. I guess I would like to see him get a third try to really make up the Hellboy movie that I know he really wants to make, that I feel like he hasn't been able to.
Yeah.
Right? And then we're still talking about the same guy, Guillermo del Toro. A Pac Rim prequel, I would say no to, because I don't want to know about the story of that little time period. You know, because I already know the outcome. I already know that's the problem with prequels.
Mm-hmm.
I know what's going to happen next. Yeah. So there's little suspense what happens before. I would rather get a sequel to Pacific Rim. But that's not an option either. So I'm not going with that. He specifically said, well-made Dragon Ball Z movie. Mm-hmm. The other ones, there's no guarantee that they'll be well-made.
Exactly.
I want a well-made Dragon Ball Z
movie. And he didn't say a well-made Backrim.
No.
He didn't say a well-made...
For either of them, Hellboy or Pacific Rim, he did not specify quality. They could be good, they could be shit. You never know. It's up in the air, just like any movie production. But Dragon Ball Z, well-made one specifically. Would I want to see that? Yes, I do. Yeah, that taps into my geeky side. Growing up, I watched Dragon Ball Z too. I watched that. Dragon Ball Z on Cartoon Network.
Toonami.
Mm-hmm. We got like what 5-6 years after it aired in Japan.
Yeah, ridiculous. Yeah. Probably way later.
And I got sucked right into it. I loved it. It was so cool.
I was
cool.
Big into it too. Yeah,
a lot of fun, and it would make a great movie. The video games. I was into the video games for a little while on the PlayStation stuff. Yeah, that's where I would go. That's definitely the hashtag fanboy side for sure of me, Dragon Ball. Little known fact, I geek out on that stuff. Well, I did anyway. I haven't watched in so long. Anyway, here's a good question. That Mr. Natathon on Twitter asked, or not even asked, he said, "I am a studio exec and want to give you your own big budget production company, but you have to pitch me a live action Lion King starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Pee-wee Herman. Go." All right, so Drew, get us started. We're Lion King with Leonardo DiCaprio and Pee-wee Herman. Drew, get it started. Go. Live action adaptation. Leo DiCaprio, Pee-wee Herman is Scar. Right?
Paul Rubens is a bad guy?
Huh? Pee-wee Herman?
Jeremy Irons. What? Would be such a...
Well, we're bringing back Jeremy Irons for live action? All right, we're bringing back Jeremy Irons for live action.
First off, I'm kicking off Pee-wee Herman and bringing back Jeremy Irons.
No,
you got to keep Pee-wee.
Yeah. Well, then I'm not pitching this movie. I'm not behind it.
Oh, wow.
I'm behind it.
All right.
I'm behind it.
Start the pitch. Go.
I think that's all you need to know is that Pee-wee Herman and...
That's it. And Leo DiCaprio are in it.
I'm not a big fan, but I haven't seen Lion King that much. But I'm going to have Pee-wee Herman as the main tiger thing. Simba?
Simba. Okay.
With the laughs.
Okay.
Much better.
There you go.
Right. He will also ride his bicycle.
Okay. The big red bike?
DiCaprio will be Shark Khan. No, I'm mixing my...
Are you thinking of Aladdin? For the bad guy?
Yeah,
the bad guy is Scar.
Scar. Leonardo DiCaprio will be Scar.
I feel like Angelica Houston
would be the mother.
Was there a mother? In the beginning, there had to have been a mother. There's always a mother.
Isn't there
the father dies.
The father dies.
Who's the father?
John Goodman.
Hey, there we go. I'm liking it. whole soundtrack done by Lord. Lorde, whatever her name is, a 16-year-old girl. She's hot. She's hot right now.
I'm going to do Alexandre Desplat, who's been doing a lot of... He did the recent...
No, man, we're trying to make money here. We're trying to make money.
We need a soundtrack again, bro.
Go Elton John all over again.
No, it'll make money after it wins the Oscar for Best Score.
If you put Elton John in, he does the Circle of Life again, and it's a guaranteed winner.
Well, yeah, we just have Elton John do Circle of Life 2014. That's only one song. We still need the rest of the score.
Okay, you know what?
So we can go with this spot.
Let me think of someone to adapt Circle of Life. Let me think here. Weird Al.
Weird Al, but no, but then he'll do like Circle of Fife, and the whole song will be on like flutes and something.
And the accordion. No, I'm sticking with Weird Al.
You're sticking with Weird Al.
Listen, Weird Al and Pee Wee. listen, that's that. You've got that niche. You've got everyone who's in love with Leonardo DiCaprio.
DiCaprio, John Goodman, that's dad. Yeah.
Directed by the Coen brothers.
There you go.
Drop. Mic drop.
It's going to be a god-awful movie.
Mic drop. All right, well, there you go. That's pitched. Movie pitched. Boom. Nice job, Aaron.
Thank you. Good job. That's what I'm here for.
Because Drew punked out on that one.
Yep.
I got a question here on the Facebook, because that's another way you can...
Facade book.
On the book of faces. This one comes from... this one comes from my brother. Why do most book adaptations fail to do justice to the original source work? And if you wish... if you wish... What books would you like to see adapted to the big screen?
Well, I mean, I think the reason why is because... Every time you read a book, you put your own little movie together in your head. Mm-hmm. And when somebody else's little movie doesn't match yours, then you're kind of usually quite angry about it.
That is one thing that happens.
That's one thing. Another thing is the written word can describe things that are far deeper than that of a film.
Right. They can get more into a character's head, so to speak.
A true word-by-word adaptation is going to be could be an 18-hour movie. And no one wants to sit around for that.
Yeah, I know.
And in general, just it's completely two different mediums. They're very close. There's a lot of things that cinema can do that movies or books obviously cannot. And that's pretty much it. And, you know, when you see a great when you're looking at watching an adaptation, don't look for accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
Look for the accuracy in the themes and the concepts.
The interpretation
of it. For example, my favorite example about this is actually the movie adaptation. If you actually read the book, The Orchid Thief, he nails the actual the passion that you have for people, things, hobbies. And that's what it really is about, you know. And so when you look at it that way, I think you can appreciate the adaptation more than is if you were looking for a pure adaptation.
Yeah, like just straight, like the lines are being lifted from the book and they're being put into the movie, which is for the most part boring.
And another thing with a lot of films is every film sort of takes from another film.
Uh-huh.
So you have those visual cues, so you're never going to have something accurate. That's just what directors. That's what great directors do. They steal and they kind of reconfigure it for their own use. And a lot of authors tend to shy away from that. They'll of course have their own influences,
right.
But you don't see it in the same way in a book than you will on screen.
That's true. You know, and then there is a lot to be taken from comparing a book a book and a movie, the adaptation, comparing the two to each other. I think there's a lot to be taken from it, and enough so that I've written a few articles on comparing adaptations of certain books, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, good and bad, because there's that. I did one on Dreamcatcher, which is just horrible, horrible. For the reasons you were saying before, how things work in the word, written word, they can't work visually, you know. But then again, it's also kind of folly, I think, in a way, to compare books to movies, because we're talking about two different medium. I wouldn't compare a picture of if you gave me a painting of a Big Mac and then he gave me a Big Mac and I ate it, I'm not going to compare the two. I'm like, man, that's a nice looking Big Mac, but it doesn't taste like good. I mean, you adapted it. In one way, it looks nice, but I mean, I licked the painting. I just tasted like acetate
and oil.
That wasn't good. I mean, it was the Big Mac itself wasn't that good either. But still.
And another thing is, directors have especially ones who are very artistic. Think of Kubrick's Shining.
Oh yeah,
comparing the movie to the book,
which
is
King
just
hated.
Unfair. Yeah.
Stephen King hated it.
It's completely unfair. But which one's more iconic now?
Yeah, and he has his own. He was a man with his own vision. With his own thing that he's trying to get across, his own themes that he wants to inject into the movie, into the story, and that's going to happen.
Yep, that's absolutely. You
know? And I think that's a great thing.
I agree. Yeah. I think it's important that we look at adaptations more as a new way to tell the same story, a new interpretation, not as an adaptation, but an interpretation.
Yes, right, as opposed to... let's compare these two together. Oh, it didn't do... It's not as good as the book, or it's better than the book. It's just different.
You wouldn't compare Year One to the Bible.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's Harold Ramis. Rest in peace, bro. Rest in peace, Harold.
I have a friend who every day on Facebook is writing a post saying, I'm going to watch Groundhog's Day in remembrance every day for the last 2 weeks.
Every day?
Every day for the last 2 weeks.
Man, that's 2 hours every day.
I don't know if he's really watching it, but on Facebook, he's been posting it every day.
Hey, well, yeah, on Facebook, you may do anything, saying anything you want, you know? Yeah. No one's paying attention. I don't have my webcam turned on. All right, so yeah, let me just double check. I think that's all the questions I had for that. Yeah, that is. All right, so that brings us to the end of the show. Nothing from Billy D this week, unfortunately.
Poor Billy D.
Billy D up in New York.
Yep.
Our official New York City show correspondent, correct. Billy D.
I like the shirt that he's been promoting out there.
Yeah, his three faces. Yeah. His, the screaming face. Oh, are you actually wearing it?
Oh, wow.
In honor of Billy D.
I'm going to take a picture of this.
Here you go. Take a picture of Drewster Cogburn wearing Billy D's face.
Can I get a big smile?
Get a big smile.
Rock on.
There you go.
Old Billy D.
Good old Billy D. You know, for the longest time, he was good with sending us a question email every week. Every week. Boom, boom, boom.
I think it's because he can't keep up with the shirt orders.
He's busy. He's selling too many shirts that he can't take the time to send
in. I bought one.
But you know what we're going to do when we do go live? At the end of every show, get him on the phone. Skype him in, do whatever. Yeah, so we'll be able to call him.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's going to be a lot of fun. People are going to finally get to hear Billy D.
Oh, man. And all his shenanigans.
And all his shenanigans. The official third member
of
the show.
He's Irish.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Oh,
real Billy. Shenanigans.
Yeah. The truest of shenanigans there. All right, Aaron. This is the end of the show, so I got a lightning round for you.
Uh-oh.
10 questions. We're going to get inside your mind.
Okay.
Okay, so you ready for this, buddy?
I'm born.
Born ready. Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Number one, French onion soup. A great soup or the greatest soup?
Greatest soup, especially the one my mom makes it.
There you go. Number two, describe your perfect Sunday afternoon.
Wake and bake, watch a movie. If there's a Formula One race on or an IndyCar race, I'll watch that.
Okay.
And if there is a good movie in theaters, I'll see it before noon because it's only $6.50.
All right.
At AMC Theaters. There. Not a plug. I have no...
Just what do you do?
So, and then Sunday, a new Simpsons episode.
Nice,
and
yes.
And a new episode of something on HBO.
Of whatever.
And a new Bob's Burgers.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
That's Chipotle.
Perfect Sunday. And a Chipotle. God, that's a busy Sunday, man. Yeah. That's a lot to do. Awesome. I like it. Number three, the situation in Crimea. How do we solve it? 10 words or less.
A lot more hugging, kissing, and being friendly with everyone.
All right, there you go. There you go. Situation solved. Number four, Aziz Ansari, are you a fan?
Big fan.
Number five, what is your favorite cuss word?
Clusterfuck.
Number six.
Which is one of the reasons why I started Cinema Funk. Because clusterfunk.com I was thinking clusterfuck.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I wonder if clusterfunk is around. It's not. And then I realized Cinema Funk was, and that's how the whole thing started.
That's the birth of the Cinema Funk.
That's the clusterfuck story.
I like it. Number six, can movies change the world?
Absolutely.
Number seven, what is your favorite concert experience ever?
One I just went to recently, it was actually a music festival. It was called Prague Nation at Sea. 20-something bands. 40 different shows. Fan fucking tastic.
Nice.
Cruise. I was just blazed and drunk the entire time. Good vibes. That was my best concert experience.
Wow, awesome. All right, very cool. I just did it. Very nice.
Could I have a close second?
Yeah.
Dream Theater's 25th anniversary show at Radio City Music Hall.
Oh, Radio City.
Yeah.
Epic. Very nice. Number eight. What is the last dream you remember?
This one's strange. I was at a convention with my boss, and we were with one of our interns who tripped and broke his neck. This is my dream.
Okay.
And my boss wanted to hide the body. And the entire time I'm thinking to myself, or trying to tell him, it wasn't our fault. All we have to do is tell the truth and we'll be okay.
Yeah.
And then he ends up getting a coke addiction. And which is strange because he's like the nicest person. I like my boss.
And then he bodies and blowing coke.
Yeah. Wow. So that was my last stream.
Crazy. Nice. Excellent. Number nine. Have you done any time traveling lately?
I wish I had.
Yeah. And number 10. Let's play Kiss, Marry, Kill. I'll give you three people. You tell me which one you want to kiss, which one you want to marry, which one you want to kill.
Okay.
The Three Amigos. Dusty Bottoms, Lucky Day, Ned Niederlander.
I only know one of those people. Ned Niederlander.
That's Martin Short.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kiss.
Okay, you'll kiss Martin Short.
And can you explain the other two?
Dusty Bottoms. Chevy Chase. Lucky Day is Steve Martin.
Oh, okay. Chevy Chase.
Okay.
And marry the other one.
You marry Steve Martin?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, who wouldn't want to wake up next to Steve Martin?
You know, yeah, what? Seriously.
You know what? I think you answered that one correctly. There you go. Good job, yay, dude.
Do I win a lightning bolt?
You win a swag bag.
Oh, that's right. The swag bag.
That's right. Yeah. So you got four bags right behind me of different colors. Go ahead and pick a color, and I'll grab it for you.
Okay. Well, three of them are red.
One's red, one's pink with stripes, one's blue with stripes, and one is pink.
I'm going to do the red on the left.
This one?
Yep.
Drew, can you please unpack the bag for Aaron and describe to the people what wonderful things he will be taking home today.
Ooh, we got that's gross, creepy, crawly, sticky, and stretchy. And I think it's an ant. I believe.
you think it's an ant?
I think it's some sort of insect.
It's something. It's some sort of.
We've got a buddy slingshot. It doesn't look. Oh, okay. So you got two little weird rabbits with stretchy arms, and you fling them with the associated thing.
I'm going to play with my niece with these. She's going to love them.
These are totally kid stuff. We've got some fake mustaches. Three of them. The Shifty, the Rascal, and the Outlaw to put on top of your real mustache.
Yes, yes. I've got a beard. Now, do they stay well? Thing. Sometimes
probably not.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, and you looked. Oh, I'll bring that up last. That's a good finisher. You got yourself some Nickelodeon Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 20 glow tattoos.
Ooh.
Looks like they glow in the dark.
You know, I have a friend who runs a Ninja Turtles podcast called Turtle Soup.
Oh, really?
They go through every single form of Ninja Turtles media one by one, chronologically. And they do that. That's their thing.
That's awesome. Wow. Turtle soup. That sounds like
and,
a fun show.
And also, you are now the proud recipient of the Human Centipede Unrated Director's Cut.
Ooh, I always wanted that.
There you go.
No, I still haven't watched the other movie I got last time from here. What was it? Rain on Me?
Rain Over Me?
Yeah, that's fine.
I think, you got the Human Centipede one isn't the...
Human Centipede, visually, it's actually pretty good.
It's technically pretty well done.
Yeah.
Content-wise, well, that was episode 62. You got your swag bag. Thank you so much, Aaron.
Thank you for having me. I can't wait to be back.
Yes. Yeah, hopefully we can do something for the Florida Film Festival. Mm-hmm. We'll get you in for a bonus episode or something. That'd be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
So keep an eye out for that one, people, in the next few weeks. Drew Sikogra, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, sir.
And everyone, please, chriscrespo.com. Go to iTunes, rate us, review us. No one's really listening right now anyway.
They never do.
No one ever listens to the end.
They're listening in spirit.
Yeah. But they really stopped listening about half an hour ago.
Pretty much.
But they missed some of the best parts with the lightning round and the swag bag. But that's on them. Their loss is our gain. And the few people that are listening, shout outs to you people. Hey, send me an email, cinemacrespiso@gmail.com.
You do this every time.
I do this every time. Send me an email, cinemacrespiso@gmail.com. In the subject, put Cinema Funktastic. And then in the body of the email, just put your address. And I'll send you something in the mail.
Rock on.
Something.
And can
something
I quickly
sweet.
Plug my...
No, by all means,
plug, plug, plug.
Plug away.
Cinemafunk.com.
Yes.
At Cinemafunk on Twitter.
Yes.
You just find me Cinemafunk on Facebook and Google Plus.
Yes.
And I like to keep it simple with just those three social media properties.
All right.
And I'm going to be starting to post more. I've been a little busy at my day job.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be... I've got a lot of stuff planned in the future that I've been banking on since September or so.
Nice.
Some really cool things I think a lot of people like.
Excellent. So please, Cinemafunk, check it out. Google them. Google Plus, Facebook, Twitter. Do it, please. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
We appreciate it, dude. And we'll be back next week, episode 63. Drew, I'm thinking, what we got? Maybe.
Maybe a guess, maybe not.
No, definitely a guess. Trying to think which one. Maybe. Maybe Matt.
Okay.
We haven't had Matt in here since the beginning of the football season.
Mm-hmm.
Football season's been over for a while. It's getting ready to start again soon.
Yeah.
Got to get him in here because we record it, but then when we go on Mondays, but then we got Monday Night Football. Ugh. Got to schedule around this guy's football preferences, and they're so annoying anyway. So maybe we'll have Matt next Sunday, and the week after that, try to get Kevin in here, and then we'll after that, who knows?
Maybe nobody.
Who knows? No, somebody.
Have a hostful.
A hostful? A hostful, mostful?
Yeah.
Hostful. Hostful with the most full. I'm the hostess with the mostest.
Are you? And with a mouthful.
No. And the mouthful. Sometimes I feel like a mouthful of marbles. Marble mouthed. What are we doing here? What's going on? I'm distracted here at the end because I got like 20 text messages that I missed in the last half an hour.
Were any of them important?
Well, it was about this fantasy baseball draft that I'm in that started like an hour ago.
That you're not.
And I was supposed to make a pick.
And you didn't.
No, I made my pick. Because it's a pre-draft, so it's all done via text and stuff. And it's the one where I paid money. This is the one league I paid money.
Did you moneyball it?
No, that's a problem. Like, I forgot about it. And yeah. And like the draft was today, like the other day I was like, oh shit, I gotta start like doing research.
You don't have Nate Silver's number on speed dial?
No, I don't. Nate Silver,
he needs it.
I need what's this guy, Brad Pitt in Moneyball. I need that guy on. Yeah. So, I mean, these are my notes. I took this guy, I took that guy, and I put a check there. We're still recording. All right, the show's over. Thank you very much, and we'll be back next week.